Space Podcast.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Everybody, welcome to this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
Versus the other episode.
That's right.
Middle-Aged
They're
Dudes
listening
and a microphone.
To this episode. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you from the Lee Berry Studios just outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm feeling pretty sassy today. I got my new $5 t-shirt.
That's
on.
A good-looking shirt.
It's an Empire Strikes Back shirt.
I'm pretty impressed with
and
your shirt.
And if the people that I got it from would sponsor us, I'd actually say who they were, but I'm not going to.
They got all kind of cool stuff. I know that.
I got like a Ghostbusters shirt there.
Yep.
I got this shirt.
You know what I got there?
There's a Marvel one.
You know what I got there?
You got probably like, don't tell me. It's some kind of candy.
Gummy bears. Yeah, I got a huge
Harborough
bag of gummy.
Or, yeah.
Yes, the good stuff.
Let's just say we can't say the name of the place. We're not going to say the name of the place. Oh, what the heck? It's called Five Below.
If you got one in your area, check it out.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyway, hey, you know that time you said, hey, if I found a teenager, I'd like to throw him 17 floors off the tower block?
I have never said that, ever.
Oh.
Maybe you said it.
Oh, maybe I did. Well, listen, teenager? Fell 17 floors from a tower block, but survived after landing on a VW Golf.
So VWs are good for something.
I was going to say it might have been one time. Oh, we got a friend that's not going to like you saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sean. He'll never be on our show again.
Actually, you know, they're not in a good way with people right now because.
But see, I think what they did was funny.
No, I mean the thing about the emissions.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's funny. They lied.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I've just got a warped
sense of humor. Maybe you're twisted.
Yeah. But I do think it's funny. They're like, yeah, these things, well, they put a chip in there or something that overrode the program that tested for emissions so that
it's funny if you're mad at the government.
And I'm always mad at the
government. You're always angry.
I'm not always angry, but I do.
You're in a bad mood. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
You're trying to put me in a bad mood, aren't you?
Hey, anyways.
I'm in a good mood, by the way. Okay. The sun's out.
Hey, you think we could continue?
Yeah.
Hey, when you're done, we'll just all be sitting over here waiting on you.
Again.
Okay. Teenager fell 17 floors from a tower block, but survived after landing on a VW Golf. A teenager survived. And I feel like I'm repeating myself here. A teenager survived a 180-foot fall from the 17th floor of a tower block after smashing down on the roof of a parked Volkswagen Golf. What's a tower block?
I don't know. Maybe it's like I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Marina Lebevia, 19, fell from the block after a row with her boyfriend.
Whoa.
According to reports in local media.
So she had a fight with her boyfriend and fell off the roof of a building.
No, it says after a row.
That's a fight.
I would think it's like rowing a boat. It's spelled R-O-W.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
Anyway, so who do you think was there for? A janitor. A janitor who witnessed the fall said he heard the teenager screaming as she fell around 180. I think I'd be screaming.
Shoot, yeah.
And fell around 180 feet. And then saw a body on the roof of the car. Every movie I've ever seen when they land on a car, they're dead.
That's right.
She rolled off the roof and onto the ground and said, I'm okay.
No, she did not.
But he said she rolled off the roof and onto the ground, said the janitor. He went to help and asked a delivery man to call emergency services. Hospital officials said she suffered multiple fractures and head injuries in the 6:30 a.m. fall from a balcony.
That's
so a balcony is a tower block is a balcony.
That's it. But that's a little early to be fighting with your boyfriend. 6:30 a.m. They're going to wake the neighbors, especially if she falls off the balcony.
Do
you think he pushed her?
I don't want to infer what happened.
I didn't mean to take it to a dark place, but this is very. If I was a detective,
I want to hear from the side of the point of view of the Volkswagen Golf.
Ouch.
Ow. when interviewed, the Volkswagen Golf said, "Ow,
that's going to mess with my emissions."
Yeah.
Okay. What about this?
What about it?
All right. Here's a headline that's going to get you. Bank robber's money goes flying after he uses a bucket for his getaway.
If we've said it once, we've said it a million times.
You tie your money up.
You don't use a bucket. If you get a bucket, put a lid on it.
He used a bucket for his getaway.
You've heard that a lot, haven't you?
Jump in and hop down the street? The headline says he used the bucket for his getaway.
Hippity hoppity.
If you're going to rob a bank, you should probably take a sack, which we learned from the guy at Baskin Robbins. He had his own brown bag with.
Right.
Or some other kind of relatively secure bag.
How about the classic bank robber satchel?
Why don't he just, he's at a bank. Get a bank bag.
Because those they hide those little bombs.
Yeah. Plus, you're walking down the street.
But what about the classic robber gangster type little bank satchel? You know, put the money in here. See,
yeah,
those guys.
Look, make it quicker. I'll butter your necktie.
Yeah, one more peep out of you,
Weisenheimer.
One more peep out of you, Teller, and I'll butter your necktie. People thought they've gotten away from that finally.
No, it's back.
It's back.
Don't, whatever you do, try to collect all the cash in a small plastic bucket.
Was it one of those little pumpkin buckets that kids come to the door with?
It's a Halloween bucket.
Yeah.
The reason for this is because when the police eventually chase you down and tackle you to the floor, you want to at least avoid making a total idiot of yourself.
Sounds like that was set up from the beginning.
Yeah, it kind of does. One suspect learned this the hard way, however, when he tried to pull off a heist with what looks something like you'd make sandcastles with.
Okay, we were along the same lines.
It's a beach bucket. Got the little things. He had just walked into Barclays Bank in Skegness. Where's Skegness?
It's in Skegnapia.
It's Skegnetity.
It's in Skegnopia.
I can't even say Skegnetity.
Please don't ever say that again.
With a little bucket in his hand.
It's a wee little bucket.
Around 1 p.m. on.
That's as fast as the teller didn't say, oh, look at the man with his wee little bucket. What you got there? What you need to a wee little bucket? Oh, he's got a knife.
That's not a knife.
He just went British all of a sudden.
He was being served at the counter when suddenly the police ran in and tackled the man to the ground. Good. That's service.
You know what?
He hadn't even got his money yet.
That, my friend, is police work.
That's not
that's
a 3-hour
police work. That's
reaction.
Police work.
Yes, it is. His bucket, which he had evidently asked to be filled with cash, went flying, throwing cash and coins everywhere.
Jeez, what do you want to put a dollar in there to fill up the bucket?
The man was being served at the counter and was carrying a little bucket, one witness said.
Wee little bucket.
And we've already reported that. But anyway, he must have asked them to fill it with cash because the next thing I knew, the police ran in and the man turned around and then he was pinned to the floor.
Why did they do that? Did they like nails or just like a hammer?
Staple gun. Something.
Staple gun would make more sense because they could get a little holster.
It looked like the staff had alerted the police. He dropped all the money and there were 50-pound notes and 20-pound notes.
Those are heavy money. Very heavy. Again, with the British and their heavy money.
And coins everywhere. An officer came in and sat on him right in the middle of the bank. I thought it was quite comical.
I hope he had the little British cop hat on, too.
You're a bad bank robber when people think it's comical.
He would have done better to steal one of those little cop hats and use that as a bucket.
Yeah. Excuse me, officer.
Can I borrow that bucket? I want to rob this bank.
Let me borrow your hat.
You know that time? Remember that time?
I do.
Remember that time?
Which time are you talking about?
The time we were like, hey, let's go play the lottery.
I've never played the lottery.
And your wife Lori was like, no, you don't want it's a waste of time. And we said,
you know what she calls it? Stupid tax.
And then she bought a scratch off and won $1 million.
What?
Oh, she didn't tell you?
No.
Oh crap. Okay, so actually this happened in North Carolina.
Beautiful state.
Wife buys scratch off to teach husband that the lottery is a waste of money. Here, I'll show you.
This is like he's like a toddler.
I know, but I mean, you think she shut up about it after that?
I bet she did.
After she got her,
I bet she doesn't yell at him anymore.
After out of that $1 million, the government gave her $2,000.
It was very close.
A North Carolina woman's attempt to show her husband the lottery is a waste of money backfired. I can't say it backfired.
Well,
in the sweetest way possible. Glenda, not to be confused with my wife, Glenna.
Don't say Glenna.
And I can't say Glenna or Lori.
No, that's my wife.
Glenda Blackwell, 57, again, close to Aaron's age, bought a $10 Carolina Million scratch-off ticket Saturday after her husband asked her to buy two Powerball tickets, according to WLOS.
Well, first of all, she did the wrong thing. She bought a scratch off when her husband asked her to buy Powerball.
And she won $1 million because of it.
I don't even play the lottery. I know that's not right.
Well, I always wonder why you spend $20 on these scratch offs. I'm thinking there better be a pretty good chance I'm going to win if I'm putting $20 down.
If I laid down a $20 bill on a scratch off, it better be you're going to get at least $10.
Or your $20 back.
At least.
Or a Buster bar from Dairy Queen.
Hey,
now we're talking.
I'd buy that lottery.
Dairy Queen's got to sponsor us because we love them too much.
We do. And what if they had a Dairy Queen lottery where you could walk in and just buy a ticket and food?
Or you just walk in and they give you what you want.
That's the Dairy Queen
I'm
looking for.
That'd be death by ice cream.
Yeah.
Blackwell said she got the Carolina Millions to teach him a lesson about wasting money on the lottery. So she's teaching him by doing it.
Yeah, that's
although
smart.
She didn't actually waste any money.
She's old enough to know better, and he must be too. She's 57.
She said, I was going to be ugly. Some say she already was. and buy a scratch off to show him they didn't hit, Blackwell said. Sometimes I get aggravated with him, so I tell him, you're just wasting money. Actually, there are a lot of people that need to be told that because there are a lot of people just blowing money on
stuff. A lot of people in our government need to be told that.
I don't. If you want, if you've got the extra $10 a week to play and you'll stick to that $10, Okay, fine, whatever. Yeah,
it's okay. That's entertainment money. Whatever. I spend $10 a week on entertainment, probably.
Yeah, Buster bars.
Yep.
Instead of losing $10, Blackwell hit the jackpot, winning $1 million. In the end, she never thought. No, wait. Start over.
Why?
In the end, she never taught her husband a lesson, but it's a payoff she would make every. What? I can't read. I know. Let me just do the whole sentence again.
You need a Buster bar.
I know. In the end, she never taught her husband a lesson, but it's a payoff she would take every time. I had to eat my words, but they were worth eating, she said. I was so very happy.
Sure.
Blackwell said she plans to buy a home, help her daughter, and put money into her two granddaughters' college fund. After taxes, she really received a lump sum of $415,503.
Stop right there.
This goes back to stealing from the government with that credit card we talked about once.
Amen. Because look, any time there's a lottery, there's only one winner, really.
The government.
The government wins every time. She won $1 million. How much cash does she take home?
415.
She took home less than half of what she won.
And the deal is, they could take $200,000 and be on their way.
Absolutely. And that's, to me, that's too much.
Now,
10%.
The next thing is $415,000. I'll be glad to take it, though.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to buy a new home. And it's not
sure
going to help.
Would.
She wants to buy a new home, help her daughter, and put her two grandkids through college. That ain't going to happen.
Okay, but she could buy a modest home.
She could buy a modest
$100,000 home.
Trailer, maybe.
Get a home for $120,000.
Okay.
Okay.
A decent home.
Yes, you get a decent. And you buy an older home. You buy a nicer neighbor.
You can buy a motor home.
You know what? You know what?
What?
You're just acting like a spoiled brat because you didn't win $1 million. I'll teach you. I'm going to show you how big of a waste this is. I'm going to go buy a $20 ticket.
You think it's jealousy? You think I'm jealous?
Oh, can I do this next one?
You just did one.
I know, but I love this place. Have you been to this place
before?
I
never have.
Then I deserve to talk about this.
You and Sean both have been to this place, and I'm jealous because I've always wanted to go here.
Road trip.
What's my favorite food on earth?
Food.
Hamburger.
Food.
I would.
Your favorite food is food.
My favorite food is a hamburger.
Mine too.
Is it really?
Did we just become best friends?
That's weird because most people say, filet mignon. Or,
No. Like mine's a toss up between.
I want a hamburger.
Spaghetti and.
I like spaghetti.
I like spaghetti and you know what you put in spaghetti?
Hamburger. Meatballs.
Hamburger.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, but I love hamburgers. You know what I like on hamburgers?
What?
Sriracha. It is so good.
I haven't tried that.
It is the
best. And we've got sriracha because who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But it's really good, by the way.
I like sriracha in my chili. I like sriracha in my eggs.
I like sriracha on anything, but here's the deal. Not on my Pop-Tarts. But listen, in all seriousness, it's really good on a hamburger.
I'll try it.
You will call me up and thank me.
That's Craig's tip of the week, by golly.
By golly. But anyway, the reason we're talking about hamburgers is because In-N-Out Burger is involved in the
story. I've
heard
that it's fantastic.
Man stops at In-N-Out drive-thru during a police chase.
During a police chase?
Look, let me tell you something, my friend. let me give you a little
That's
truth.
That's a good burger.
Can I give you some truth?
Yeah.
Place pretty good.
I've heard.
I'm not going to say it's the best hamburger.
It is a pretty good hamburger.
I'm not going to say it's the best hamburger I've ever had in my life.
Okay, what is?
Oh, man, it's tough. There are some good burgers here around the Nashville area.
You know what my favorite burger is around
Nashville? I'll tell you who's got one in Nashville. They don't sponsor us, but I'm going to say their name.
Go ahead.
Sportsman's Grill. Fantastic hamburger.
Have you ever had a triple thumper from
the place you go to? And you,
yeah.
No, I've not been there.
I don't know whether it is.
But there are hamburger joints around this area that... That's their big thing. We're hamburger joint, and the hamburgers are horrible. But
I agree.
But anyway, back to In-N-Out.
Okay,
In-N-Out, I like it because you walk in, it feels like you walked into a 1950s. Like it looks like when you see pictures of the McDonald's original menu. It's like cheeseburger, hamburger, milkshake. That's it. I mean, there are a lot of other secret menu things people get at the In-N-Out, but the burgers are good. And anyway, so
there used to only be one In-N-Out. Now there's a few, but there used to only be one.
Oh, no, there are a bunch of them now.
Yeah, now there's a few.
So there's not a few, there's a bunch
there's,
of them.
There's a few.
They want to bring it here. And Whataburger's another story. And I didn't like
it. We used to have those.
Yeah, and they were horrible. But
I had it
recently, and it was fantastic. Can we tell the story about
In-N-Out
now?
Go ahead. You got me talking burgers, and I could talk burgers for hours.
Chandler, Arizona. A man is in custody after leading police on a bizarre chase into the East Valley on Wednesday night. Phoenix police said they didn't say that. I just said that.
Craig said, I'm done with Sergio.
Stop. Phoenix police began following the suspect in Phoenix. That was really redundant. And the pursuit continued into the East Valley in Phoenix. But it took a bizarre turn when the suspect stopped at an In-N-Out Burger in Phoenix. Anyway, basically stopped at the drive-thru. I kept adding Phoenix in there for fun. The subject appeared to order food, but then drove away and got out of his pickup near a couple of streets right around the corner. He then ran into a backyard and tried to get into a house through a back door.
He said, look, I got burgers.
I got burger, I got In-N-Out burgers, which really probably,
I'd let him in.
Probably a universal passcode. Anybody in that area say, I got In-N-Out burgers. When he couldn't get inside the home, the suspect surrendered to police and was taken into custody. According to jail records, 35-year-old Joshua Atkins was booked on suspicion of unlawful flight from a law enforcement, aggravated assault, domestic violence, and unlawful imprisonment. So we're going to do one of your unpacks here. Okay. Break it down.
Break it down.
Break it down.
Yeah.
The story, the headline really makes you think this is all about In-N-Out Burger.
Isn't it all?
All they really said was they were in pursuit of him and he stopped at In-N-Out Burger drive-thru. Okay. Did he have time to order and wait for his food?
You know what
and
I was thinking.
They didn't get surround him?
I think he's smart because if you're in a police chase and if you get just a little ahead of them, turn off your lights, you could whoop into a drive-thru and they're just going to go right past you. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
But when they didn't think that, how was he able to order? Did he get his food?
Yeah.
Did he get
his food? In my mind, he did. It doesn't tell us, but in my mind, I've got him eating a burger in the cop car.
Well, so real quick before we just waste the entire episode on burgers again.
That's not possible.
What a burger.
Yeah.
What a burger. My wife, Glenna, who we don't speak of.
I told you twice this episode alone.
She was not impressed, but I think it's because she got like the cardboard vegan something.
Does she like burgers?
No.
See, Lori doesn't either.
She got it. Don't say her name.
Oh, crap.
Glenna got some kind of vegan cardboard sandwich. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
She's not a vegan. She got something that was like probably a
healthier option.
Healthier or something. I think she probably got chicken or something at a place called Whataburger.
That's not called Whataburger.
Chick-fil-A and ordering the hamburger.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a hamburger at Chick-fil-A?
No, they don't at KFC either.
I know. And we had that story.
Yeah.
So, we had Whataburgers here about 30 some years ago. It was horrible.
I don't remember ever eating one.
It was horrible. The first one I had, talking about cardboard, actually had a piece of cardboard in it or something. It was horrible.
Oh, wait.
And as a kid, I shouldn't be that hard to please.
That's true.
I got to go to one coming back from Florida recently, and we were actually still in Florida when we had it, and it was good.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I like it too, because like In-N-Out Burger, it's also sort of that stuck in one decade.
Yeah.
Feels like it's in the 70s or something.
They've got pretty cool design.
Dude, it was good, and it was impeccable customer service.
Let me ask you this.
Customer service was top notch. So Whataburger, we're on your side.
Even if the food's not good, I will go to a place if it's got good customer service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's a dying art. Let me ask you this. You were talking about the burger shacks around Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them have good burgers, some of them don't. How did Nashville?
Not even shacks, but like these sort of
like Burger Up.
I don't want to run anybody the names in the ground, but that might have possibly been when I went to. The burger was absolutely horrible that I had.
Okay,
what made you say that? How did you know that?
Because I've never eaten there, but I've seen it quite a few times.
It wasn't good.
How did Nashville become hot chicken?
It started in the hood. You know, it started like in the
like at Prince's. We do have some good hot chicken.
I've never had it, but Prince's chicken was one of the first ones, and somehow it caught on. It became this Nashville thing. I don't know. We've both been here our entire life. I never heard of chicken.
I woke up one morning and Nashville was hot chicken central.
Chicken waffles, same thing. I'd never heard of chicken and waffles.
I love those. Okay, this next story.
Let me ask
you a question. Let me ask you, Craig. Let's just say you weren't Craig. You were somebody else. You were going to cheat on your wife.
Was that Doug?
You're Doug.
Okay, Doug.
And
here I am.
Your wife throws a burrito at you. You said, that's it. I'm cheating.
Give me a microphone.
So you
move over.
What's one pet you probably shouldn't have if you're going to cheat on your wife at your place? What's one pet?
Oh, one that can talk.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that? Here's the headline of this one.
Headline is.
Parrot outs cheating husband.
Parent?
What did I say? Did I say
you parent? Said parrot, but it sounded like over. Parent.
Okay. That's because my sinus is allergies or something.
It's because you were born without sinuses.
Yeah. Parrot outs cheating husband by
still says it sounds like you said parent.
Parrot outs.
I mean, you're keeping all this. This is good stuff. Just making fun of you is good stuff.
By repeating flirty chats to wife.
Oh, no.
So his wife comes in, this parrot. Okay, let me just
suddenly
read it.
The parrot's getting all like saucy.
Hey.
And the woman's like, mama. What the heck? I don't remember all this. And then she called her. Then the parrot called her like, you know, some other name.
A parrot let its own let his owner's
oh, affair, parrot let you not uh-oh. Read that sentence correctly.
I wonder if this was Arnold Schwarzenegger's parrot.
Oh no!
Because the first sentence, a parrot let slip.
Get to the parrot.
His owner's affair with the housekeeper.
Oh no!
In front of his wife, the bird first ruffled feathers.
Ah, I see what they did there.
When it began repeating flirting conversations
See, because he's a bird.
Between
feathers,
the man,
ruffled feathers.
And the lover.
You're not going to let me have that, are you?
Arousing suspicion with his wife.
Oh, no.
It's just, whoever writes these stories does a really good job.
You're not going to give me the ruffled feathers.
Okay, you've got it. That was funny. I give you that.
I didn't write it. I just read it. You read it. I wrote, read what?
Okay. According to Al Shaddad newspaper, the woman had wondered about her husband's relationship with her maid, but the pet gave her the evidence she needed.
He's cheating.
As adultery is illegal in Kuwait.
Oh, no. That's probably punishable by death.
It probably is. The enraged,
no, she's the one that'll get killed.
No, they killed the parrot first. The enraged wife headed straight to the police station with her parrot in tow to report the love affair.
Well, tell him what you heard. Tell him.
Someone get the tow truck. I got to take this parrot to the police station. But luckily, wait a second. If the bird's evidence had been used, he could have faced a jail sentence for his indiscretion. But luckily for the philanderer, cops rejected it.
We don't take words from parrots.
They argued that the bird could have overheard the flirty
that
banter
is true.
On TV or radio.
Wait, did the guy ever admit to it?
What if that's what happened?
But did the guy ever admit to it?
I don't know. I haven't finished the story
yet. Why don't you finish it?
Because I was wondering what if the husband's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I swear. But then the parrot started producing under his wing, started producing photos.
under his wings. They argued the bird could have overheard the banter on TV or radio. It's not the first time a parrot has allegedly exposed a secret love affair. That's news to me. In 2006, Chris Taylor discovered his girlfriend's infidelity when his talkative pet squawked, I love you, Gary.
I love you, Gary.
Susie Collins has been seeing an ex-work colleague, Gary, for 4 months.
That's Gary.
That one there, number three.
I'm a Gary. Number three is Gary.
As well as saying his name whenever Susie's mobile phone rang, the parrot also made kissing sounds whenever the name Gary was heard on TV.
Here, Gary. Love you, Gary.
For years, it was thought all birds were feather-brained, but scientists now say they are as clever as apes. And I believe that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. They're pretty smart. You know what I like to watch?
What?
The little cockatoos when they're dancing.
I like to watch them when they're talking.
When they're dancing, heads going back and forth.
And even they even have more brain cells than apes, despite having much tinier brains.
Just some guy in a lab going, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, that's how many apes have.
Parrots
are used. Parrots are able to use tools, recognize themselves, and learn to speak.
Well, yeah,
words.
They recognize themselves. They give them mirrors all the time.
Sure. That way they think they got company.
Not the recognizers.
Hey, I'm a twin. Which then they repeat. Scientists from Charles University in Prague measured the
Prague?
What'd I say? Prague? That's not right at
it's
all.
It's Prague.
Let me say this. Scientists from Charles University in Prague measured the number of brain cells in 32 different bird species, including parrots, owls, emus, and crows. They found the average bird brain had twice as many brain cells per gram as the average mammal, proving that they may be a lot smarter than we give them credit.
Or we still don't know.
That's true. You know what we hadn't had in a week or two?
Top 10 list.
Let's do one.
You know why?
Why?
Because this hasn't been any good ones.
People don't like them.
No, people like them, actually. I pass people on the street all the time with 2 middle-aged dudes in microphone shirts. And on the back of the shirt, it says more top 10s.
I know where you're hanging out if you pass people with those shirts.
Yeah. I'm passing by a mirror.
Exactly.
You're that slow in the uptake on that, weren't you?
A little bit.
Okay. Top 10 interesting facts about Coca-Cola.
You like Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
I love Coke.
But I've kind of gotten in this Diet Mountain Dew rut.
You know, I don't really drink sodas anymore, but when I did, Cokes were my favorite.
Well, you have Coke and a smile.
And I didn't like Pepsi. Something about Pepsi is just like, it's like drinking a candy
bar. Well, great. Pepsi's online too, and they wanted to sponsor us.
I just don't like the
You better
flavor.
Start liking them quickly.
I like Coke.
Well, Pepsi makes Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, and I like Mountain Dew.
I like big Cokes, and I cannot lie. All you other sodas can't deny.
Stop. All
right, so give me number 10.
Top 10 interesting facts about Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Number 10.
I'm ready.
John Stith Pemberton.
Stith.
Shoot. Start over. Stith would have an E at the end of it. Number 10.
Number 10.
John Stith Pemberton, the founder of Coca-Cola, served... That was not even proper English. Number 10.
Served was a...
Number 10. John Stith Pemberton, the founder of Coca-Cola, served as a colonel in the Confederate Army.
I did not know that.
Well, of course you didn't, because these are interesting facts that we're now telling you about.
Well, if they're that interesting, you'd think I would have heard them.
Not you.
Okay. So he was.
What does that mean? I just totally badgered you just then.
You did,
number
as usual.
Number nine.
Wait, number 10. He was on our side. The guy was a Confederate.
I don't want to take sides on that.
No wonder I like Coke so much.
I don't want to take sides on that.
Oh,
that
come one. On.
No, I mean.
It's ancient history. Well, not ancient. It's history.
I. You know what?
What?
On this day, we're not Union or Confederate. We're just American. I've been watching too much of that new Kiefer Sutherland show.
I haven't. Is it good?
It's good.
Is it really?
I think it's good.
Is it? Is it like 24?
Only in the fact that it's government related, but it's not.
And it's got.
He's the what's it called now? Crap.
Designated survivor.
Designated survivor. He's the one guy who's. Yeah, it's good. I think it's good. I like it. I like
you know
it.
What they should do? They should. We should have a designated survivor, and we do. But they should make it. They should draw the name out of the phone book randomly across America. So one night, this guy gets a call. Says, Mr. President.
Well, that's kind of what happens in the show. Is
but he's in the government though.
But he's about to lose his job or get assigned somewhere else, and he's sitting in sweatpants watching the from another location, watching the screen of the State of the Union, and all of a sudden the feed goes off, and the Capitol's been blown in half. And,
oh shoot.
Yeah.
That's never
why
good.
Are we talking about this during the top 10?
I haven't seen the show and I was curious.
Okay, we'll just start over because that.
No, keep it.
Okay, number nine. The prototype of the original Coca-Cola was alcoholic as also coked up.
Wow. So I knew it had Coke in it, but I didn't know it had alcohol.
That's where
in
the
it.
Smile came from.
Have a Coke and a lot of smiles.
Have a Coke and I hope you got a lot of money.
How much is that Coke? $200.
Come on, man. Just give me some Coca-Cola, man. I just need one more fix. Number eight.
Yeah.
Coke is 128 years old.
Ooh, I'm not drinking that.
That's really old.
That's nasty. They won't have any fizz left.
Number seven.
Yeah.
At first, Coca-Cola was marketed as a remedy for several ailments, claiming that it cured indigestion, headaches, depression, anxiety, and also drug addiction.
Well, because it had drugs in it.
How's that curing
here, it? Here, this will cure your Coke addiction.
I don't think that's going to. Just take more Coke.
But, you know, they still say it helps indigestion.
Well, in 1903, they took the cocaine out.
Ah,
number six, 1903, cocaine was taken out of Coca-Cola. The indigestion thing, I don't know.
Yes, they say that it does, and I don't ever suffer with indigestion.
Number five,
yeah.
Originally, it cost 5 cents per glass.
Wow, with Coke and alcohol, that's a bargain.
I guess cocaine wasn't so expensive back
then. It wasn't until it became illegal. Should we discuss drug laws?
No,
that would be a long show.
Yeah, it would. Number four,
yeah.
Coca-Cola's creative advertising contributed to the public's vision of Santa Claus. I would say that's true.
That's the long
Norman
white
Rockwell.
Beard. Yep.
Norman Rockwell stuff. Yep. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Santa Claus.
Let's not get started on Christmas with you. Number three. This one I've got to read because I got to see where this is going.
Well, you've
got
to read it because it's in the top 10
list. That's true. Number three. Coca-Cola played a role in race relations.
It did not. Would they make a white Coke?
We are going to get letters.
I'm sorry.
In 1899, Coca-Cola began to be sold in bottles apart from the regular selling in soda fountains. This meant that consumer demographics underwent a remarkable shift. On a racial note, the minorities could consume Coca-Cola when it became available in bottles.
Were they not allowed? Oh, they weren't.
I'm getting to it.
Oh, sorry.
Until then, it was sold only in soda fountains, which were highly segregated. This in a small way helped improving race relations.
I don't see how
that's a stretch.
I don't see how it even.
No. It didn't help. That's where it's misleading. It didn't help race relations. It helped Coke sales. This had nothing to do with
right.
race. Right.
Right. Yeah, bloody well, right.
Quite right.
Yeah, quite right.
Number two, Coke invented the six pack. That's funny. I took my shirt off. I thought I did.
that one got extra laughs for me.
Number one.
What's the number one top interesting fact about Coca-Cola, Craig?
Well, I was about to tell you.
Well, I wanted to introduce
you. Oh, you wanted to be big. Okay.
Yeah.
Birth.
That was a drum roll. That was a terrible drum roll.
Really horrible. Birth of the Coca-Cola Contour bottle.
Wait a minute.
The Coca-Cola Contour bottle has the highest place at the top of interesting facts about Coca-Cola.
Why?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Bottlers were worried that a bottle that was evidently straight-sided was not distinctive enough. Also, people were always confusing Coca-Cola with many copycat brands.
Hello, Pepsi.
Thus, Coca-Cola approached glass manufacturers to design and produce a unique bottle exclusively for Coca-Cola. According to the Root Glass Company, situated in Indiana, designed they designed the well-known Contour shape that won wholehearted approval from Coca-Cola, and it was duly introduced back in 1916. Apart from these, the Coca-Cola bottle has become a design classic among those who appreciate good design.
I really appreciate it. Well, it's been a great show.
Up until this point.
Yeah.
No, I can't really say that either.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at 2 Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.